When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Tigress, the podcast, and this episode is rated R because we're going to be talking about something that a man I have never talked about. I'm sitting here with my sister, Amaya, which is porn, watching porn, porn preferences. And I'm nervous because we're going to be brutally honest here. Like, I'm going to give it to you very
quick
directly.
And dirty.
Quick and dirty, not quick and dirty, because we're going to actually be here for like 30, 40 minutes. So not very quick, but we're going to be very honest.
We're going to draw it out.
We're going to be honest
as possible.
We're going to be honest about preferences, journey, what we watch, how we watch. Amaya and I have never talked about this in like very directly because I think that there is a lot of embarrassment about it.
And when we were brainstorming, because I was like, oh, we should talk about sex because it's so fun to talk about. We're like, oh, we should talk about porn. And I was like, wait, this is going to reveal so much about our trauma.
No, it really is.
Because sexual preferences and trauma are so linked.
Ah! Okay, yeah. It's fine. We're very excited to talk about this because we've been talking about sex and pleasure, and you cannot talk about those things without also talking about what you're watching and what you're doing while you're having sex or finding that pleasure.
What turns you on?
What turns you
on? What are you into? By the way, hottest question anyone can ever ask in the middle of a sexual interaction.
What do you like? Into?
What are you into?
Yeah.
Both.
Oh my gosh. I also have a story about the first time I ever got asked that and I almost cried because it was very recently.
And
no one's ever asked me that.
Someone asked me that 3 weeks ago.
Who was, by the way, your eighth grade crush who you reconnected with?
I'm so sorry to this point. Like, people are going to be like, Amaya, everyone's going to put together every single detail of the amount of shit I've shared about that.
But this is just a note to any people who are listening out there. Ask your partner what they're into or what they like. Okay, wait. So, journey with watching porn.
Yeah.
I was first forced to watch porn by middle school boys on my bus who held me down and put a phone in my face or sent me links to porn to watch. That was my first experience. But I started watching it more on my own in eighth grade. And for me, I never put a lot of thought into it. And I had an ex-boyfriend who used to tell me that before he watched porn, he would like go on Reddit and do research on like the best clip. I never did that. I would type in porn. Pornhub would come up. I would click on Pornhub.
So you knew Pornhub existed, though?
No, if you type in porn, it's the first thing that comes up.
Yeah, but did you know that porn was free and accessible? Because I didn't until later.
I think I did, but
I don't know why I never thought to type in porn.
Like, I just typed in porn. I think for me, it was just clicking.
I think I didn't know the word pornography.
And it was on my iTouch. Remember those?
Oh, my God.
Before iPhones, there were iTouches that were basically...
Yeah. iPod Touch?
Yeah, they were basically iPods. They weren't cell phones, but they were like a
screen. You didn't have an iPod Touch. You had an expired iPhone.
No, I had an iTouch.
Oh, okay. I had an expired iPhone 4, yeah.
So I would watch on my iTouch at night under my covers on the top bunk bed of our triple bunk bed with both my sisters sleeping beneath me. Anyways, I would watch porn and I would honestly just watch the things that was most trending.
You masturbate. You're just like, what? Right?
Well, sometimes I would try to masturbate, but again, I've never made myself orgasm myself. So it wasn't like a masturbating to climax.
Years of practice lost on you.
Okay. Yeah. But for me, it was a curiosity thing. For me, it was like...
Absolutely. I think that's where we all start.
And I will say... One of the reasons I do feel so strongly about how the porn industry is a fucked up industry is that for me, I was a lazy clicker, right? I was clicking on the first things that came up. So Pornhub, because it was the first video because it was most viewed. Wow. They were always super rough.
Yeah.
They were always
dramatic,
super big man in charge and like some very big boobed petite girl who's like, daddy, you know,
mobile.
Yeah. And for me, I think that I would honestly sometimes I would just like watch, and I catch myself doing this today too, of like kind of just being curious on like what people are watching.
Yeah.
But then also like I've had clients and like I've worked in the sexual wellness space for like years, right? So like I simultaneously have been learning so much about like ethical porn. What is ethical porn?
Oh, yeah.
But I will say, I'm going to be very honest here. The things that I am into, I am like ashamed to say because they are often non-consensual or like start non-consensual. Like the plot is a little bit non-consensual. Or it's like a big age difference with like an older guy, like stepdad stuff. And I hate it. And I really try not to let myself watch. But I think that as a young person, when I didn't know a lot about my own trauma, that's what I gravitated towards.
Why do you hate it though?
It's not that I hate it. And I think I carry around the shame because like I've done so much academic reading and like conversations with ethical porn advocates who talk very directly about like, okay, when you do non-consensual porn, it's promoting rape culture.
You're talking specifically about non-consensual
porn. Yeah, or like even stepdad porn. Like it is, people say it's non-consensual. Like there's a power difference. It's like a parent situation. Like it's incestuous. And for me, like I'm being just straight up honest here. Like this is what, before I even was on my journey
much of sex though is like flirting with what should not be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Flirting with boundaries.
But and I guess I think I'm just nervous about talking about this because I do think that it is such a controversial thing, right? Like to be into these things and it is so related to my trauma, but like that's what I watch. And like I never got turned on by like vanilla.
Really?
I think maybe when I was younger, when I was into romance and stuff.
Very different though. Like you're like poly and I'm like really monogamous. Like, yeah,
which is so interesting because actually, when people hear how open we are, like you're more open to talking about sex. So I think people would assume you're more sexually.
I'm super monogamous. Like I'm an incredibly sexually loyal person.
I am.
Like I'm not attracted to other people when I'm attracted to one person.
I'm trying to be.
No, I mean.
Because I'm in a monogamous relationship.
But yeah, but like that's the thing is like you can be sexually attracted to someone and like not have sex with them, right? Like you like walk down the street and you're like, hello. But like, oh, okay, I'm sexually attracted to people, but like for me, it's like, I don't want to fuck them.
What porn do you watch?
But I want to, because I like need them. Oh, well, so that's what I was going to ask you that question. But
I answered.
Well, it's a whole journey. No, because I was like, well, what do you look out for? I think it's different. We'll talk about me in a second, but I think it's different. I think what porn I watch and what I look for in porn is different.
I don't, well, what I'm saying is I don't look for anything in porn. I'm like,
but when you watch porn, do you notice like the actor's chemistry? If you are not attracted to one of the, you know, cause some people like a lot of guys can just like, that I know can just watch porn. It doesn't matter who's fucking who. It's just digging it. It can be like some ugly guy, some ugly girl, whatever. But they're like, yeah, like I can't do that.
For podcast listeners.
Okay. Sorry.
Onomatopoeia makes no sense.
Okay. So like when two people are not like, you're not attracted to both people in the porn and you're watching the porn, they can still get sexually stimulated. Like for like, cause it's just sex. They're turned on by sex. Like, are you just turned on by sex? So when you need porn, you can just watch porn, you know? Because for me, I'm like, I need, like, that's why I need it. That's why I have a whole setup when I masturbate is because it's like, I need a good 10, 15 minutes before looking up the porn that I know I like, looking up the porn actors I know I'm attracted to. I have like in my head, I know the titles of certain porns, of certain porn videos that I like, and I will only watch like 10 minute increments so I could go back to it. Like, I'm serious. Like, again, like
this is so sweet.
I'm a really loyal monogamous person. And so like I'm loyal to my porn stars. Like, it's like I look them up. Like, I like the whole ethical thing, like I look up interviews, like I like need to like get to know them. Like, I need to know they're a good person. Like, do they have a family? No, like, I'm serious. Like, it's like you'd assume that I'm like really like people are like, oh my God, you must be so kinky. And it's like, no, like I'm really loyal. Like,
wait, question. Do you pay for your porn?
No.
Okay. You really should, because this is a whole debate too. Like, I'll get like
a Dipsy thing and then I'll like only like I'll listen to all like the free trial.
But this is what I'm saying. It's like,
but I'm not gonna pay Pornhub. If I'm gonna pay for ethical porn, I'm gonna go do the research and pay for like a woman owned
Afterglow. Yeah, they're a client of mine. They're like, amazing.
That's where it's like
everything. I pay for that.
Even like okay, Pornhub is so easy and accessible. Like Tumblr, please return yourself. But it's like literally like, because it's curated. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's just, it's hard. Like, so that's my thing with paying for porn. Like, even, but here's the thing is like, for me though, there needs to be a certain amount of disconnect, because I still, again, because I am like, I think the reason why I've shied away from things like OnlyFans is I could see myself getting like
because it's like I might have a sexual attraction and loyalty to someone, but like if it was like too personal, I could see myself getting like emotionally attached to a person, even though it's online.
Oh, you're talking about making porn yourself?
No. Like that's why I don't subscribe to like OnlyFans.
Oh, yeah. Because you would fall in love with the person you're watching.
Not fall in love. I just think I would have, like, I would develop, like, it's like when people are, like, really into, like, BTS or something. You know, like, they're like, yeah. No, like, I love Justin Bieber. Like, it's like, I could feel myself being, like, really into someone that I'm like, this is a porn star.
Yeah. I will say that I do pay for a porn subscription to Afterglow.
Oh, you're a good person.
But it's, I don't pay a lot, but it's paying something. And that's a recent thing for me. And it's because, like, I think
even as much as I'm the quote unquote sex positive one, like I think I don't want to admit to myself that I'm like, I watch porn that much because I'm like, no, I don't need it. You know what I mean?
No, but you can be sex positive. Yeah. And you're like, a lot of this is an academic thing. Like I literally took a year or two of classes on the ethics of porn and it is such an unethical industry.
I forgot that was what you're saying.
Yeah. I minored in women's and gender studies talking about porn and all this stuff.
Shit. Yeah.
So. Yeah. Like the overall industry is so awful to women. Yeah. Yeah. And
super predatory. Doesn't mean it's not empowering in certain circles.
It's empowering if you get paid and compensated. Yeah, and absolutely. It's consensual. But what I'm saying is, this is where I have an issue, right? Because my honest answer about
it's not survival. Yeah.
Your question on what turns me on. If it's, I do not need to know any backstory. I do not know the names of any porn stars. I do not need to watch the plot. I do not need to. Well, first, I don't. It's like, to me, I watch it, I'm like, bad acting.
My mouth is open, by the way. Yeah.
Amanda's shocked. I don't need an emotional attraction. Literally.
Like, even if they're, like, ugly, you're like, ooh, you're like, shakes.
No. But listen, it's not about the sex. It's about, like, the passion and the wanting it. Like,
yeah, but, like, what if two actors, like, I cannot watch porn when I'm like, she's clearly bored.
No, they can't be bored. But I'm saying, like, I don't know their name. I didn't watch the buildup. But if I skip to, like, oftentimes if I watch a video, I'll skip to, like, 15 minutes in. And, like, I'll just watch it from there. But, however, the things that, like, work best for me in terms of, like, giving me some sort of fulfillment, even if it's not an actual climax, is, okay.
Like, what's the moment?
No, everybody, like, yeah. I'm telling you the moment. Everybody is laughing in the studio. So
no, I'm not laughing. I'm shocked because I'm going to tell you how embarrassing I am.
Is, like, penetration compilation. Where it's like literally just the close-up moment.
Oh, yeah, I Google close-up.
Yeah.
I Google close-up missionary.
But for me, it's not a personal thing. It's like not, it's like yeah, a.
That turns me on too. No, I get that. I watch those compilations all the time.
But then also it's like.
And like cum shots.
But okay, no, I don't like that. But like for me, it's also the like, it is kind of like the rougher stuck porn. I went through a phase of stuck porn when I was stuck in my porn. PTSD phase. It's like where the woman is like stuck under the bed or like half her body stuck in the window and like she's stuck and she's like, oh, I'm stuck.
I have never heard of this.
This was like this is something I
help
did search
me,
for.
I've fallen and or I like can't get up.
Her, she's like doing the laundry or like there's one where like she was cleaning something in the sink and she was like, my hand is stuck. And then like,
is it called stuck porn?
Yeah. And
mouth open.
It's
wow.
But this is something there's that I stumbled upon because
and
there
started,
was.
Then you would look at.
And then
it.
I started looking it up, and at first it was like, I honestly like it is so linked to my trauma because like, I think I was in a relationship as you know for 3 yeah. years where every single time my ex boyfriend yeah. would come on to me, he'd be like, "Let's have sex, baby," and I'd be like, "No, I don't want to. I'm not feeling it. I don't want to. Like, I'm not in a good place." Yeah. And he'd just go, come on, let's do it. And it's just like over and over again for like 30 minutes, an hour, and then we'd have sex.
Holy
and
shit.
I think for me, it like kind of is linked to that, but maybe also linked to like also childhood trauma where like I genuinely, to me, like that's what sex is.
I
sometimes.
Also want to give you permission to be like, maybe I just like it.
I do,
no,
but
no, like
I
literally want to give you permission to also like, yeah, a lot of like general themes. Like when we were talking about, oh, like this porn that I like is connected to this trauma. Like
it is connected.
Okay, I know, but like we both like, Nadia, like my favorite porn genre is stepdaddy porn.
Yeah.
Like I love stepdaddy porn. Like I love like the daddy, like you like that. Like I love like the.
Do you call your
this.
Partners daddy?
No.
Oh my
no.
God, I could never.
But like watching porn, I'm like, yeah.
Sometimes I do it as a joke. Like, no, and, no, and then no. I'm like, oh, too close to home.
Yeah, exactly. Too close to home. But also like, I don't know. It's like that's definitely connected to daddy issues, but full disclosure,
it is what you're into.
Yeah, but I was like, I had a period of time where I was like, oh, I'm really into stepfather porn and into age gaps. Like, not old people, but around the age of my father.
Oh my God.
No, here's the thing. Preface. So I was like, oh, maybe I'm into older guys. I'm not. I tried it. I didn't have sex with older guy, but I turned my Tinder up. I tried to flirt with older guys that I thought were hot. And I was just like, this is weird. Like, I was just like, I felt so predatory. And I was like, you're gross. You're weird. Like, for me, I was like, no. Like, I think I am someone who's really attracted to people my own age.
No.
Honestly. I was always like, oh, I need to date someone. Like, I moved to Chicago and I was like, I'm going to date a master's student. Like, I need someone more mature. Like, fuck these boys who are my age. But I'm just not, I'm attracted to people my own age. And that's something that I've just dealt with and experienced. No. I just want to say though that hearing you talk in my head, I was like, holy fuck. Because Nadia, I search genres and then I find actors I like. And so I'm at a point in my porn relationship where I searched certain people. I've done this since I was really, really young.
Do you want to share who you search?
You're embarrassing.
But isn't your whole thing not being embarrassed?
Yeah, but I just want to I'll give you.
You don't have to share.
Okay, but I have phases. I get bored with someone or they start getting ugly and then I move on. When I was younger, I was really into Tyler Nixon. Middle school, unfortunately, really young. I was really into Tyler Nixon.
Okay.
And also, who's the really famous one? The girl.
The only one I know is Mia Khalifa because I follow her on TikTok.
Mia's great. I'm not into her porn, but I think she's... I follow her on all social media platforms.
I think she's funny.
Oh, shoot. I'm super upset that I don't remember this girl's name.
Wait, can I say something, though?
Yeah.
So,
oh,
like...
Yeah. Bruce Venture has a huge...
Okay.
Ryan McClane.
I'm just going to put my nerdy hat on this and explain
guys,
why.
I'm in a Ryan McClane phase right now.
So you are more into guys. I never watch the guy. I only watch the girl.
Yeah, but also even when I Google lesbian porn, I'm like, you guys both hate this. Like, not hate it. Not, no, okay, not hate it. I just like, this is false. I think I misspoke. Nadia, you skip all the narrative parts. You don't care. You're like, show me the closest, whatever. I watch the 15 minutes of build up
while masturbating.
No, I watch it for fun, and then when I get horny, they get horny in the scene, then I get horny with them. It's like a whole adventure.
I just find it funny. To me, I'm like, but
no, the acting is bad, but I'm like,
wait,
yeah.
I will say,
but I'm experiencing the porn not as an actual thing that's happening, but more as I'm putting myself in the shoes of the porn actor. And If at any point I'm an empath, if at any point I notice that one of the actors is not into it, I have to switch. Because literally they'll be in the middle and in heterosexual porn, because I kind of exclusively watch heterosexual porn now, it's when the guy is verbal, I like it. But when the girl isn't, I don't, unless it's feels genuine, because I don't like porn noises. You know what I'm talking about? The high pitch, and if it's so fake, I'm like, shut the fuck up. Because I'm like, it's just, I feel like it's really important for me as a person in my sexual relationship with myself that I feel really genuine. And so I just feel like, you know, because of course, when you're watching porn, I think for me, it's important that I am able to put myself in the shoes of the person having sex, because I'm a really emotional person, right? I'm very deeply
anything
connected.
On Pornhub is not a genuine.
I know,
love
but you can
connection.
No, exactly. Okay, but Belessa House, there's this Belessa House has this whole series where they take a porn actor and they're like, "What is the porn actor that you have always wanted to work with?" And then they get together and they introduce themselves. They're not like, oh, this is my character. They're like, hi, I'm Ryan. And then they interview them beforehand.
You should send this to Ryan, being like, hi,
no,
I'm a genuine
he's
fan.
He's old. He's really old.
Wait, okay.
But he's so gentle with the girls.
So you like gentle porn.
Okay, so no, I will look up Ryan McClane rough. This is what I'm talking about.
Does he
right
play
now.
A stepdad?
A lot of the times.
Okay, wait.
But you know what we should talk about is, because I think it's really important, is the journey from when you found out about porn to when you started actually watching porn. Because there was a good amount of period where, like, can I just say it?
Yeah.
Okay. Because when you're talking at the very beginning of the podcast, I was like, okay, I just am looking for an in to share this. I realized that I was turned on by sexual videos because I didn't know porn existed. I was pretty innocent. And you know, when I was younger, I ran in extremely innocent circles. I was a narc throughout high school. I didn't smoke or drink, didn't have sex until I was 18. Like, yeah, I'm open and all these things, but like, I was like very goody two shoes. I didn't party. Like high school, I was like clean as shit. So I didn't even know porn existed. And then I remember watching like a documentary and it was like David Attenborough was narrating this scene where like all the whales were like competing to have sex with their dicks.
Which is literally rapey. It's basically like
super rapey.
Rapey.
Exactly. But I was just like, oh, this is interesting.
I know exactly what video this is.
Yeah. And I could feel my like little like second, third grade. I don't know. I was really young being like, oh, sex. And then I started watching compilations of like lions having sex in the wild, like animals having sex in the wild. Because when you're on YouTube, like on YouTube. Yeah, see, exactly. I was like, I just need to share this. On YouTube, you can't watch actual porn of humans. But you know what? There's a plethora.
Did you get off on it?
No.
No judgment.
No, I didn't.
It was curiosity.
It was like, I had never seen sex visually, right?
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save money on your insurance? Of course you would. After all, who wouldn't love a great deal, right? And when it comes to great rates on insurance for all of the things in your life, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners, condo, or renters coverage. You could save even more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And choosing to switch to Geico becomes an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent and get started seeing how much you could save.
This show is part of the Pro Democracy Podcast Coalition. I think most of us agree that in a functioning democracy, the winner should be determined by the voters. Well, that almost didn't happen in 2020. Now, extremists are working to intimidate and replace nonpartisan election workers with quote-unquote yes men who might reject election results. The only thing that will stop them is us. We've partnered with the grassroots pro-democracy organization, Represent Us, to give you the tools you need to protect free and fair elections. Learn more and get involved. Visit represent.us/pod to learn more.
I'd never seen sex happening. So I knew conceptually what sex was. I remember being in fifth grade and checking out the My Body and Me book from the library. And all the boys, my friends, were like, oh, you're getting checked. And I remember looking at the pages of the penises and the vaginas and being like, oh, my God. And there's no, even in these illustrations, there's no illustration of actual sex happening. The only time I remember seeing sex, like, visually at this time in my life, when I was, like, watching these, like, sex videos of animals, which I wasn't getting off to. I was just watching out of curiosity. Yeah. Like, I remember watching a compilation of animals in the wild having sex on the dining room table of Mark and David's house in eighth grade.
Yeah, it was just kind of
late
thing.
That's like late. Like, I wasn't really watching porn really, but I remember, like, at that time, like, do you know the Body Worlds exhibit?
Mm-hmm.
It's like this, like, they like take actual human people who have passed away and donated their lives to science and put them in like resin, and there's one diorama, I don't know, like a setup that they have where it's just two people physically having sex and it's a Body Worlds exhibit. And that was like, I like was so shocked to like, Body Worlds already is like very shocking, yeah. But like it was two human bodies having intercourse. And I was like, that's what sex is? And I was like really young, I was elementary school. And then, yeah, anyway, I just think that's really strange and interesting. But like, and then from there, I remember somehow I stumbled from animal educational videos, I don't want to call it porn, to like, I remember I was on Pinterest. I was addicted to Pinterest at this time. That's where I like had my like unfortunate eating disorder boards and whatever. I remember Googling, like, I remember I was baking a lot. Like, I would bake a lot at this time because I had eating disorders, obsessed with food, whatever. And I remember typing in vanilla because I was trying to get like vanilla cake recipes. But when I typed in vanilla, one of the boards that popped up was a vanilla sex board that someone had made. This is literally how I discovered porn, by the way. And so I like opened the vanilla Pinterest board that I think is about cake. And it's like all these vanilla sex photos. And it's really romanticized and sensual photos of people having sex. And there are GIFs of penises going in and out of vaginas and like guys like picking up girls and slamming them against the wall and like kissing them passionately. And it's like, for me as a kid who like was so lacking in physical touch and romantic affection and like affection from like my dad, you know, like I just like male attention, I was like, oh my God, this is like male and female love. I mean, a woman, like this is like heterosexual love. Like this is, so I was just like so into this, like, I was like, wow. And then like a lot of those pins from Pinterest were from Tumblr boards.
Yeah.
Sexy college girl one. Oh my God, you did so well. And so I just started watching these GIFs and I masturbated to GIFs. Oh, and this is also, I know I did a podcast where I talked about like how I masturbated to Kindle, like erotica and then like whatever. This is like right after that. Like this was the evolution, is like I went from like erotica, like reading to like animal videos to like Pinterest to Tumblr. And it wasn't I used Tumblr exclusively for porn, because I only used Tumblr for porn. Like that was the only use I ever used for it. And then I didn't realize until like months into using Tumblr for porn that you can click on the Tumblr link, and then I found Pornhub that way. And then all the doors opened.
I think that's fascinating. And I also think that it kind of reveals maybe our different relationship with porn, where like you found it.
I loved vanilla. Like when I was younger, I would Google like vanilla sex.
But this is what I'm saying is you found it in a very like, I feel like natural self, like
self-driven,
way.
Yeah, it was super self-driven.
Versus my way was like so non-consensual and like kind of traumatizing.
But
so then
I wonder, like not in a, I feel like the way that I phrase this is going to sound almost victim blamey, but I'm like, I feel like how does that relate to like the circles that we were in a way, you know? Cause I feel like I literally have memories of being in sixth grade and there was a boy on the bus who was showing all these girls porn. And I remember like, I was like, what are they watching? Like I was interested in that, right? I was always trying to talk about porn and people were like, Amanda, do you know what cunt means and stuff? And I literally have memories of like people stepping in and being like, don't show it to Amaya.
Do you realize that?
Like not Amaya.
When you were a sixth grader on the bus, I was an eighth grader.
Oh, that's why it was the same person. We're talking about the same
person. We're talking about the same person, but like they held me down because I was a sixth grader and the only girl. But by the time you were in sixth grade, I was eighth grade girl, big sister.
Yeah.
So like, but this is what I'm saying, which is like, we were in the same circles or like on the same bus with the same people.
Yeah.
But like, I was the eighth grader. And like, I think for me, it does affect my whole interaction and introduction to porn was like so out of my control. And in many ways, it's my introduction to sex, right?
Totally. Yeah. But that sets a precedent, right? Your first, like your first relationship with this sets a precedent for your sexual relationship with yourself.
And I do, like, I think that one of the reasons I'm like so ashamed, I am going to say I'm ashamed. Like, I'm ashamed to admit that like genuinely the porn that I watch or like the porn that I was into was stuck porn and stuff like that. And like, is not consensual. I know, but like, but okay, let me take it from like I'm going to kind of make a little parallel example, which I do think that from an academic lens and just like a way of thinking of it is like, it does feel problematic to say that those are the things that I'm into without also recognizing like what being into those things perpetuates. And like by my click, like we live in an attention economy where like by clicking on that, I am putting dollars into someone's pocket that I'm not values aligned with. But also furthermore, like I think that I'm saying all this as someone who's like worked and consulted for years in the ethical porn industry, like supporting other female founders in the space. And like something that I really recognize is there's a big debate around racial fetishization, right?
Yeah.
And like,
I have some great articles about this.
Well, again, so you know, from an academic lens,
anthropological.
If someone says, like, when people have like fetishes for Asian people or like Black men or Black women, especially, and they say, well, there's nothing to be ashamed of. It's just what I'm into, right? You like, you cannot say that without understanding the historical political implications of saying something like that, right? Of saying, oh, I'm not into Asian men, which you hear a lot in porn. You can't say that without, but
these days it's changing.
But you should, I'm not going to say you can't say that. You can say that, but like, I feel like you shouldn't be able to say that without also having the opportunity to understand like what is the impact of asexualizing Asian men and over-fetishization Asian women in our society? And yeah. what you watch in private does carry out into what you see in the world, right?
Absolutely.
And for me, I can be like, oh, I'm into stepdaddy porn, but it only exists on porn. And like, I'm not actually like supporting that in my real life, but like, I am supporting that. I'm supporting it with my
clicks. Like a genre. Yeah.
Exactly. And like, I'm
normalizing
also
that genre too.
I'm boosting a video in an algorithm.
Well, that's
that is,
why you know the video you like and you only watch the same video, Nadia.
But Amanda, if the video that you like is not consensual and you're promoting rape culture, like, I think that that's why I have the shame, which is like, this is like, I preface this at the beginning of the episode. I'm going to be genuinely honest. Like, before I even started asking myself these questions about ethics and everything, like, this is what I talked about. This is what I watched. And like, even now, if I like type something in, like, and again, I don't really watch porn because I don't fucking masturbate because I can't make myself orgasm.
Nadia, that's a sticky statement because like, again, not to be like, well, I read an article, but I took anthropology of sex work in that task and it was an incredible class. And I read these mind-blowing articles about race play. And it totally flipped my world around. But the article that really hit home for me was the article I read. It was an assigned reading. Sarah Luna is an incredible professor at Tufts. Incredible. You should all take classes from her. And there was a reading assigned about the plane of rape culture and sexual assault in porn, right? And it was a really long research study talking to women who felt embarrassment around being victims of sexual violence, but pursuing, you know, relationships where they were then having to tell their partners, I'm someone who's been assaulted. These are the things that you can't do to me. But also, it's hard because, like, I feel like a lot in my, you know, I'll just pull from my own experience, right? I am a victim of sexual assault and also childhood sexual abuse. And so I have these nuances around daddy issues and also the fact that I do like violence and sex.
Yeah.
I welcome it. It's consensual, right? But it's like, I like having the conversation, but like, choke me and hit me and hit me harder. And I have a thing for marks. I don't know. I kind of want, you know, I love when I have marks on me, and it's like, I should be embarrassed maybe because.
Which also
like,
breaks mom's heart. Whenever mom saw a hickey, she'd be like, bruise. Like, yeah, but like, you hurt.
But it's not hickeys. Like I like mark, like I like scratches and bruises. And I don't, I'm like, do I like this? Because I have this like weird view of myself as like, do I like feeling like someone's territory? And how does that connect to my history of issues with my father probably, or like being a victim of. Being a rape victim, why do I like watching rape porn? And why do I almost kind of flirt with the option to be like, can you pretend to rape me? You know, and that is something where I'm like, should I even talk about this on the podcast? But full disclosure, like I read an article, I don't know what it was called, but it blew my mind because it was the first time that I felt like there were other people out there who had this really dangerous kernel of sexual curiosity.
The majority of my friends do like non-consensual play.
And most of, I'm going to say us, who are victims of sexual violence, we have that urge. And it's hard to explain. And I haven't done enough research. Maybe you have around like the reasons why. But like, I think it's really hard because it's like, oh, we shouldn't support the industry. We shouldn't support that. But also like, I don't see my sexual needs changing because that is a part of my sexual need. You know, that's a part of my sexual, like, you know, like that's a part of my sexual vocabulary. So am I supposed to be like, am I supposed to rewrite?
No, you can't.
That?
I don't think you can deny it. Yeah. But I do think that I'm not saying deny it.
So then how do you engage with this sexual urge to like have violent sex?
I think it's having these conversations. Like what I'm saying is like,
how do we make that more ethical? Because like, I want to watch violence.
But I will say with, especially when I've dated cis men, like if they watch violent porn,
heterosexual
heterosexual cis men, if they watch violent porn, I'm like, nope, completely no. Like
same, yeah.
Because if they
heterosexual,
so
cis
I'm
men,
actually
yeah, absolutely.
I never want to play non-consensual. Like to me, that is too triggering. We're like, I think for me, I'm like absolutely not. Like I will watch it in porn, but like if any of that comes into my life, and honestly, the people that I end up dating or having relationships with don't watch porn.
Okay,
and
also
wait, hold on.
Same. No,
it's
I
really,
just want to preface because I shared that, but like I don't either. It's just I was giving an
example.
No, I know. Yeah.
Well, and we're not judging people who do. I think like we're really not judging people. I think
true. Okay, yeah. No judgment. Just
we're not judging at all. We're like purely coming here with a lot of questions. And like, I think again, from also like a nerdy academic lens,
we both have studied it.
We've studied this. And like, this is something we like love just like talking
about.
But I think that like, for me, in relationships, I do find myself, like, if a guy watches a lot of porn, I, first of all, you can tell because the way they, like, go down on you, yeah, the way they have sex,
they
is, like, porn.
Jackhammer into you.
Jackhammer is, like, that's not real.
They eat you out.
It's just so bad.
Everything.
But also, I think that for me, I do find myself more attracted when a guy's, like, I don't watch porn because it's disrespectful and it's a screwed up industry.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that's, like, so hot. And yeah, like when a guy says, like, it's just really, it's like the ethics of it. And like when they ask themselves those questions and they're like, oh, it's just not personal enough. I'm like, my heart.
The
you
thing
know?
Is like, I feel like they're probably lying.
Well,
like genuinely, I don't know.
Because it feels too good to be true.
No, not too good to be true. It's just like, I just feel like I've met, you know, boys in my life who have said that to me. And I'm
and then
like,
it's not true.
And I'm like, no, it's not even that it's not true. I'm just like, I know that you're full of shit. Like, I know. Because yeah, I know you're saying that because you think that you have to say that.
Well, and again, like, I'm not saying that I would never, like, I've dated some of my exes, like, very much were very into porn. But I think that for me, I genuinely saw a difference in the way they were intimate in comparison.
Yeah.
But again.
But also, like, porn, like, as someone who has sexual curiosity and, like, honestly, Nadia, honestly, I have had so many times in my life where I wanted to join the sex industry and have gotten very close.
Like, no, I know you have.
And it's still something that I'm not saying like, oh, I haven't. I'm like, no, like I still want to, I would love to be a stripper. Like I want to dance really badly. Like, I think to me, it sounds really fun. And I want to acknowledge my privilege coming from the, you know, I think it sounds something that could be really positive for me and my body and my relationship with my body. For to me, it sounds fun. If I joined the sex industry, I would not be a survival sex worker. It's, you know, it's something that
yeah, you'd be coming like, from a place of privilege,
from immense privilege.
Yeah.
But I would never villainize the sex industry. And so that's where it's like I'm flirting with the idea of being like, oh, the sex industry, and like it's manipulative and toxic and all these things. But at the same time, like I think two truths can exist, that it is a space and a career that a lot of people flourish and love and appreciate. You know what I mean? I just want to put that out there in this conversation.
Yes. And I think that my challenge to you or my invitation to you would be to pay for your porn. Like
yeah,
to
no,
go to a place
I
like
think
Afterglow.
That I definitely should.
Or Dipsy or wherever. Like I everything you're saying about like the emotional connection to porn. And again, for me, like I try to really, there is also.
No, I totally called out. I was like, oh fuck, I should pay for my.
No,
porn.
You should. Yeah. Because if you believe in sex work and you believe in
I'm
supporting
just attached
this.
To certain people. So then I'd have to find those people and what platforms they use.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of them are licensed. Yeah. A lot of the ethical absolutely. Porn sites are licensed. Or like, you yeah. know, and again, like, again, I think this conversation is so important to have because I do think that like there are on the negative side a lot that happens in porn that trickles into real life,
yes.
which is especially around violence against women.
Yeah.
Like one of the fastest growing categories of porn is violent porn and non-consensual porn. And there are a lot of studies around how it's directly linked to people's idea around what people like, what mm-hmm. consent is. And I think that for me, like even the idea of non-consensual porn promotes the idea that you can be turned on by rape. And I have a really hard time and like feel like a hypocrite and sometimes yeah. like a fraud to be like, oh, this is what I'm turned on by. But then like
it's not consent. It's biology.
But like that's what they would say. But like that's not as a survivor. I would never, ever tell someone that like ever. This is not a turn on. And like yeah. I feel like as a feminist, I'm like, this is not a turn on.
Yeah.
Consent is sexy.
It is.
And being rough where like someone's saying no they're physically stuck in a laundry machine and you go up coercing them to sex. That is not okay.
But yeah, no, I agree. But also like.
This is my internalized shame that I'm genuinely expressing to everybody.
I completely agree. Okay. Yeah. So I'm reminding myself that we're having an open conversation.
Yeah, we're having an open conversation.
We're exploring.
No, I mean, this is something that I think we can talk about for hours. And like, again, I think it's such an important conversation to have. And also, big go us for having a conversation about porn for the first time in our lives.
Yeah, I learned so much about Nadia.
Like, we've never
Bro,
talked about this.
Stuck porn, I love you so much. That's
You're going to go watch it?
I know. I literally am going to go look up stuck porn. what was it? Dishwasher?
But Amanda, again, my invite to you is to pay for your porn. Even if you pay, like, Afterglow has this sliding scale.
I'm probably going to pay for Balesa.
Yeah. Whatever works
for
you.
I love Balesa, yeah.
again, this is not an ad. We're like genuinely just supporting these porn
sites. Are like I
Erica Less is a filmmaker we love.
I've loved Erica for just by the way, like I Bless is incredible. They cure their porn so much more. Like I from like it's been like about a couple years now, honestly, that I've avoided Pornhub and exclusively watch on Bellessa just because it's a more supportive platform.
Yeah. Anyways, we appreciate all those out there who keep us entertained and bring pleasure to so many viewers.
Thank you, Ryan, for the work you do.
Amaya says thank you, Ryan. And yeah, thank you so much for watching. And again, I know that for some of listeners out there, this might have been an episode that like maybe made you a little bit uncomfortable and
angry, frustrated.
And again, are all episodes that you can skip through. These are episodes that you can engage with us on. Like a lot of Amaya and I having these conversations with everybody, like we love doing this because then we get comments and feedback from people and we have these conversations. So yeah, we just genuinely appreciate that. And I'm nervous, but excited to hear what you think. Bye, y'all.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.